UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
You're listening to The V Show with Bob Balvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
We're efforting Justify, but I don't think he's going to come on today. But that would that be news or what?
You know, that's the most damning thing of all. I mean, his silence is deafening.
That's why, honestly. As I said, and I'm not doing I told you so, because believe me, I'm no expert on this. I'm just giving you my impression. But right there, right on the TV screen, what's the first thing you see right now? Tainted Triple Crown. That's going to be tainted forever. There's nothing that's going to come out of this that is going to change the fact that forever there will be that asterisk next to Justify's win that says it's tainted, the same way the home run record for Bonds. Like him, love him, think he's the greatest player ever. I'm not here to argue one way or the other. I'm just telling you, because it happened, the crux of it, in the throes of the steroid era, it's going to be tainted. The fact that he never tested positive, okay, but it's tainted. That's what it comes down to. Now, also, by the way, though, I know Nick has his hand up, so we'll call on you just a moment.
Ooh.
It's a big story. It is a very big story. So for the people who were saying, boy, this is big news, I'd like to hear what you've got to say about it, you are absolutely right. It's a big national story. But I think that what I said at the beginning is the truth, that it doesn't matter what comes out of it. And here's the second biggest storyline, and then we'll go to Nick. We'll go to the students and get some comments. This could be, don't know, just like the thing in California with the pay-for-play thing or the play fair, whatever that's called, that legislation could be the tipping point for the NCAA to have first meaningful reform that they've had. They keep doing this window dressing. They keep rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic, but they don't really do anything. That could be the catalyst, because they're going to have to. They're going to either have to throw all those schools out of the national championships or they're going to have to account for them somehow. It's the same thing with this. If this has the legs it appears it does, maybe horse racing will finally have to admit, yes, we have a problem. We have a big-time problem, and these are the steps we're taking to deal with it. That's what the NCAA has to do. Yes, all these scandals come about because we recognize these kids have value, and we're not allowing them to be paid, and that creates the soft underbelly. So that's the other story, and I have no way of knowing how either of them are going to turn out. The NCAA is completely unpredictable, no idea, and the thing with horse racing, your guess would be as good as mine, but both of them are the tips of icebergs for the Come to Jesus meeting that both of those sports, both of those organizations desperately need. All right, let's go to the classroom. You had your hand up. Mickey? No? Joe?
Ooh, ooh,
no?
No, me.
You in the front?
Yeah.
Big-headed kid?
Okay, question. Yes? Question from the audience.
Yes.
Does John Q. Public care?
That they're drugging horses? I would think that, you know, if you want to know the truth, more people care about it than you would think, because there's a whole bunch of people who couldn't care less about horse racing but are absolutely going to be up in arms that somehow they're drugging these animals. It's going to be
I'm not talking about the PETA people.
Well, like,
bullet in their clip.
Well, that's what I mean. But PETA people, when you say John Q. Public, I assume you mean people that are not really racing fans. They're just right. Joe Jablonski out there. Well, some of the Joe Jablonskis are vegans, are people that just are not going to like the fact that whatever's going on for these horses are not.
In terms of a cheating aspect, I'm talking about John Q. Public's or Stevie Sports fan, I don't know, lives in Missouri or something like that, cares about his teams, loosely follows all sports. We'll tune into the Triple Crown races, especially if there's a Triple Crown element to it. Definitely will, you know, maybe, oh yeah, throw a couple shekels maybe, but isn't a diehard horse racing fan by any stretch. He's just a casual sports fan. Is he going to care the same way maybe he would have cared or not cared with steroids in baseball?
I don't think it's going to affect how he cares one way or another. His reaction is going to be predicated on how interested he is in horse racing to begin with. As most people, well, this is not a good market because it's so important to us here, but the minute I leave here, it's exponentially, if it could be lower instead of exponentially higher, it's much, much less. So I think Joe, sports fan in Dubuque, will say, oh, that's a shame. Yeah, that's a shame, that horse, that story.
Is he related to Stevie, sports fan in Missouri?
Could be. I'm not flying off the handle at you. Bob, I just wish they would not say, do your research. This drug administered intentionally acts as a depressant and is no way a performance enhancer. Okay, well, if you're a vet or you're a horse expert, I'm going by what I read. And what it says in the article is specifically, let me see if I can read it to you, so that I'll tell you what made me think. Scopolamine is a banned substance that can enhance performance. That's I don't know, there may be some ambiguity in there, but as I read it, it said it can enhance performance. So
what's it called again?
Scopolamine.
Scopolamine? Okay, cool. That
sounds like
it.
That would be delicious with clam sauce.
Oh my god, right?
I mean, let me get a plate of scopolamine with clam sauce and a little salad.
Give me the
breadsticks.
Fabulous.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
How long are you supposed to cook noodles for them to be al dente?
Depends on what kind of noodle it is. A thicker noodle is going to take a lot longer than an angel hair or a spaghetti. A rigatoni are thicker.
Is angel hair supposed to be al dente? I thought that was the whole thing. It's supposed to be. No, I know, but I mean.
All right, well, then spaghetti, okay?
Okay.
Spaghetti is much thinner. So I would think it would take a lot less. So that's what the article said. So guy says, let the cake bake. You'll see. Okay, what will I see? I mean, I don't know what I'll see. I'm, again, not trying to be obstinate here, but they already know what the drug is. They know what it does. How are they going to suddenly test it? Oh, no, it doesn't enhance performance? They've already said it's a performance enhancer. That's how they alluded it to it, as a performance enhancer. I didn't hear anybody come out and say, well...
Forget about performance enhancing. I think the main word there is banned. It could be anything. It could be for recovery's sake.
Yeah.
Banned. That's the thing.
But
that's the one that stood out to me. Banned.
Yeah. And if you did it on purpose, then yeah, that's a good point. But you know, that's one of the arguments about all the drugs that are out there now. I mean, uh-oh, heart attack again? Playing a softball league where I said, I was playing one week, I had a cold, and I said if we had to take a drug test after this game, I probably wouldn't pass because the cold medicine has all sorts
of... Oh, I thought it was the cocaine.
That too. But anyway, that's how they referred to it. So, and I am not, if you want to ask my opinion, it's too soon for me to form a definitive opinion. I think it's a shame because it's such a feel-good story. I like Baffert. We've had him on the show a number of times. So as a personal thing, it's a shame. I hate to hear that. But in terms of how the public is going to perceive it, maybe you're right. Maybe it doesn't do anything of value to the horse. But what I'm telling you is, as Nick said, Joe Q sports fan out there in Dubuque is not that invested in this. He's just going to pick it up and say, oh, they were giving that horse banned substance. That's California. Boy, they're doing a lot of drugs out there. That's a shame. And it's going to be tainted. That's all. And I don't think I don't think there's much debate about that.
I brought this up with Locke. I feel like the sport as a whole, I mean, and just like a lot of niche sports, he mentioned this. I know you've mentioned this before, that a lot of the niche sports seem to get in their way more often than not, and maybe it just gets magnified because they don't have like the NFL's grandiose public image and money to kind of fall back on for any of their missteps. But horse racing has gotten in its way a few times, but I feel like this could be so much more detrimental to the sport if this had been California Chrome as opposed to Justify. Because there was still like a little bit of a Triple Crown hangover almost. That was what, like two or three, it was what, 3 years between the two of them? But there wasn't that clamoring for, I mean, people were just about to give up that it was ever going to happen again. It had been what, 30, almost 30 years? 30, I feel like this is blasphemous to be in this state and not know exactly how long the Triple Crown drought was. But before California Chrome actually broke it, I mean, there was just that it had gone so long.
California Chrome didn't break it.
Yeah, California. American Pharoah. I'm sorry. Have I been saying that?
Yes.
Oh, my bad.
I meant what you were talking about.
Yeah, American Pharoah. I'm sorry. With all the stuff with California, I got California Chrome on the brain. Sorry. Yeah, with American Pharoah breaking the drought there, I feel like if it had happened to him, if he had popped positive, it'd be a much bigger story as opposed to this one. I feel like that is kind of, at least in terms of John Q. Public, I'm not sure. I mean, people are going to be like,
people
are
really
that's a shame.
Fired up about this.
And well, we are in a horse racing state. So,
but they're firing at me like as if I'm on some sort of an agenda. I have no agenda in this. Guy says, now you're an equine drug expert? No, I went to school and can read. I just read the article. That's all I'd read. Feel free to read another article besides PETA supported Joe Drape. I don't even know who Joe Drape is, but this wasn't his article. It was the the New York Times, and it was ESPN. That's all I do is read it. Calm down, sir. But the
people
fact,
don't like
but,
that
but,
Drape
but,
guy, though.
Okay, but let me just point out another thing, though. If this, and this is at the core of it. If you know it's a banned substance, and my guess is if you're Bob Baffert and you do it for a living, and you know it's a banned substance, and the vet says that there's no way that this could have been from a, quote, environmental contamination, unquote, meaning it had to be a deliberate introduction of the drug into his system, the difference to make. Does that or does not that does that not imply that you were cheating? I mean, if the criteria is you can't give a horse carrots, I'm being stupid here, but and you could make the case, and I'm going to go fight that because carrots don't do anything bad for the horse. Okay, but the fact of the matter is, they said you can't give him carrots. You can't just give it to him then and then get caught and then claim, well, I don't believe it does anything. You give him a banned substance. By definition, you knew you were cheating. So it's a tainted result.
My question is to this, and I feel like I know what the answer is going to be, but I'm just trying to make an analogy. It wasn't in his system for the Triple Crown races. It doesn't seem that way. I forgot who the
spokesman.
It says
that in the article. And I guess
the spokesman for Churchill Downs said that they do
Kevin
a drug
Flannery
test. Kevin Flannery. Thank you. I couldn't remember his name. They do a drug test after the race, and so he was clean then. If this is like the NCAA tournament, and I don't know, I'm throwing like a wacky analogy at you. And Podunk Tech is in the first round, and Steve Stevenson takes a bunch of HGH or whatever and puts up a triple-double and helps them advance. And then they do drug tests from the Sweet 16 on, and he's completely clean. What do you rule there? Because the ruling is that he might not have made it into the Derby had he not won the Santa Anita.
Yeah, well, that's the bottom. That's what...
so I mean, so then how do you what do you rule there? I mean, he was only cheating in the Santa Anita Derby, which is still cheating. But can you completely vacate his Triple Crown winnings? Because he was clean during that stretch.
Okay, here
I don't know.
I'll try and put it in. I'll try and be Clarissa here. All those things are valid discussion points, but as always, I try and strip it down to its barest component. Here's where the issue gets sticky. Scopolamine doping, and if I'm not saying it right, don't lose your mind, okay? I'm not a horse vet. I think that's how it's spelled. I'm sounding it out from my second grade reading. Scopolamine is not apparently unheard of in horse racing. The New York Times reported that previous cases have resulted in, quote, disqualification, purse reimbursements, fines, and suspensions. But here, it appears the California Racing Board, the chairman of which, by the way, I just learned this, reportedly has a business relationship with Bob Baffert, may have dragged its feet in order to avoid taking action against a valuable horse after a signature win and ahead of a shot at horse racing's biggest prize. The board took weeks to even tell Baffert about the failed drug tests, and then another 4 months to close its inquiry, which it did in hushed, suspect fashion. By the time the board had finished ignoring its own rules, and then they overhauled them. That's what a texter said. Did they change the rules? Yeah, they changed the rules after the fact to what was an automatic disqualification to a fine and things that would not have made it so he would have had to vacate that championship. But at the time he ran the race, those were the rules. He should have, by the rules that existed, If you used scopolamine and it was in your system, you should have vacated the result of that race. We always get mad at the NCAA because we say they don't use precedent. Well, if they had followed precedent, then precedent would have said that they had to vacate that title. He would have had to, the championship of the race, the winner of the race, had to give back the purse, and he no longer would have qualified for the Derby. That's the fact. So that's the bottom line. So what are you going to get into a debate with me that I don't know anything about you know, horse racing? Or fine, I'm the most ignorant guy in the world about horse racing, but fine, I'm not, but okay. But the fact of the matter is, the rules say that if you use scopolamine and you're tested positive for it, you're disqualified. And they have had numbers of instances where they have done just that. You can't say one of those things, well, that's been in the books for years, but they ignore it. They don't ignore it. They evidently have a whole bunch of races where they've acted that way. So, fine. You know what? Like I like to do, I'll grant you your argument. It does nothing for the horse. It's irrelevant to the discussion. The discussion is, if you use it, you're disqualified. Did he use it? Yes, he should have been disqualified, and he wasn't. And the fact that there's a business relationship between the chairman and Baffert, and the fact that there was so much in his system that it couldn't have gotten there just accidentally, you have to ask, why were they using a banned substance? That's the question. And if you were, it makes the win tainted. I'm sorry. Yay, Justify. Yay, Baffert. But the fact of the matter is that I'm only dealing in facts here. So if you want to debate whether this drug does anything actually of value to the horse, fine. I don't know that you're right, but for the sake of our argument, I'll grant you. Does nothing. Does nothing valuable, nothing to enhance the horse's performance. Okay? Now let's take a breath. New thought. Is it legal? No. Have people introduced it in the past and been disqualified? Yes. Did he test positive here? Yes. Did they retest and he tested positive again? Yes. The logical conclusion would have been he should have been disqualified as well, and he wasn't. And so the fact that he wasn't, and then he went on to win the Triple Crown, having qualified with a bogus achievement, which is what it is, it's going to be tainted. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to, and what I'm also suggesting is when I say horse racing has its come to Jesus meeting, I don't mean it as a way that, oh, this will be a step to get rid of horse racing. What I'm saying is they have got, much like NASCAR, after Dale Earnhardt got killed at Daytona, said it's time for us to get up to speed with some of these other racing circuits who have placed an emphasis on safety that we have not. They hadn't made the Hans device mandatory. They didn't use the safer barriers. None of those things. All of a sudden, boom, they all jumped on board. And we felt, hey, listen, it's still a dangerous sport. We get that. But the fact of the matter is they're doing everything in their power to make it safer. Horse racing has a perception now that they play free and easy with the health of the horses. That's how it's coming across. That they're drugging them. And, you know, and is that everybody? No. Nor was it everybody in NASCAR. There were many teams that were doing everything in their power to make things as safe as they could. But the fact of the matter is, as a community, as a sport, as a kind of culture, it changed because of that accident at Daytona. Well, it's the same thing here. I'm not saying, oh, let's do this now. Let's get rid of horse racing. What I'm saying is, you know what? We've talked about this for so long that the sport from a business standpoint has changed so much that the way horses are bred, they're not bred for endurance. They're bred purely for speed. And when they're bred purely for speed, they can break down more. And if they are going to drug them like this, they're putting them at higher risk. There's a way then to get back to the way they used to race. And you could still do that and still have exciting racing and still have the fans still have a great interest in it and a betting interest and still great achievements and there'd still be great horses. But you would show that you're putting the health of the horse first and foremost as an industry. Again, I'm sure there's somebody listening who's going to say, you know what, I owned horses. I raced horses. I did everything in my power to make sure that horse was as safe as possible. I believe that. I believe, in fact, maybe the majority, maybe the vast majority are doing that. But there are enough that aren't that it's time for legislation to step in and say, or something, not legislation, I don't know what it may be, but something that makes it so that it looks as if you're acknowledging that you've got a problem. That's what I'm suggesting. And it's the same thing in the NFL. The NFL has a problem with head injuries. They're having to address it. Sometimes they've got dragged kicking and screaming to that because they don't want to put themselves open to all the litigation. But the fact of the matter is, they're having to address it now. For whatever reason, the public has said, all right, enough's enough with this. We don't, we understand they're modern-day gladiators, but can't we do something? And maybe eventually I think kickoffs will go away. I really do. And I don't think that'll be the worst thing in the world. I mean, if they take away the kickoff, you're not going to watch the NFL anymore? I mean, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. If they take away betting, you might not watch the NFL anymore. But if they take away the kickoff, you're going to watch it? Of course you will. So that's what I'm saying. Things like this are tipping points for the way the narrative goes. And I think this could be a tipping point for horse racing. But I think they need to be out in front of it and look like, hey, we want this cleaned up as much as you do. You know, you can't come out and say, as he said, the guy in California, we take the integrity of our sport very, very seriously out here, and then just absolutely have done everything in your power to ignore all of that integrity. 4 months after the incident, you wait. If this was something that was possible cause for disqualification, I would think you would tell the trainer immediately, hey, we got a problem here. Instead, they waited for a couple of weeks afterwards. The test evidently was April 7th. They didn't report it to Baffert till April 26th. What kind of urgency does that say? And then they did, rather than filing a complaint and holding a hearing, nothing happened until August 23rd, 4 months after the failed test, 2 months after Justified completed the Triple Crown, and he took the unprecedented case, the board's executive director, Rick Baedeker, took the unprecedented case of presenting the unprecedented path of presenting the case directly to the board's commissioners, who voted unanimously to drop the case. The board decided the test results could have come from him eating contaminated food, but the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission's former drug lab chief, Rick Sams, said the amount of scopolamine in his system said it had to have come from intentional intervention. So if all those things are true, it doesn't sound like a place that's committed to trying to get to the bottom of what went on. It sounds like an organization said, let's sweep this under the rug, and then we'll go forward. And then they changed the rules afterwards on top of it. That's what who's going to say? Oh, yeah, they changed the rules. Now they've changed the rules. Yes, they changed the rules to it's a suspension. It's a fine, but you wouldn't have to forfeit the championship and you could still be in the race. And you know what? I'll leave the people who are telling me that this drug does nothing for the horse. Fine. Then maybe this will be the tipping point for that. Maybe then they'll say, you know what? We're trying to be so cognizant of drugs, we've lost our minds a little bit. This is not a detrimental drug to the horse. I mean, just before the start of the show, you heard me taking all of those. Those are the heart meds. I take those every day because they make me stay healthy. So some medicines are good. So, but the fact of the matter is, as it was right now, it was a banned substance. He took it. It was determined that he did. It was confirmed that he did on a second test. He should have been disqualified. He wasn't. And they didn't even bring it up till 4 months after the fact. That's a little troubling. So people asking me, please read this, please read that. Okay. I granted you, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't read anything. It doesn't do anything to enhance the horse's performance. It's totally safe. But the fact of the matter is it's banned. And he tested positive for it. And I think nobody's disputing that. If somebody came out and disputed that, then I'd say, oh, this Joe Drape, he's just looking. I don't know. The facts are indisputable so far. Now, maybe Baffert will have a press conference today and say, hey, I got to tell you, that information is 100% wrong. He didn't, the second test, he wasn't positive. I was never notified. I don't know. But if, in fact, and maybe this is wrong. And if it is, then the guy said, let the cake bake. You'll see. Okay, well, then I'll let it bake. But as far as what's being reported as fact, not there's rumors out there. They're reporting as fact that he took the test, failed the test, retook the test, failed it again, and then they didn't disqualify him. They've disqualified horses for taking this in the past. It's definitely a banned substance. Didn't report it to Baffert until almost 3 weeks after they'd taken the test, and didn't do anything with this information until months afterwards. That's a little sketchy. Well, Baffert actually met the media. Did somebody just tell you that? Okay. Thanks, Drew. Drew did much more on this than I intended to, but that's fine because it's an interesting story. Connie Leonard was quoting Baffert. Must have met the media. Was he here or is he in California? Because if he's in California, you got a nice early. Well, horse people are always up early. So, but these are his comments. As quoted by Connie Leonard, thank you, Connie. Oh, this is a written statement from Baffert. So, but he's supposed to meet the media, is he not?
I've been perusing, trying to find a press conference link or anything like that, or a time, and I haven't seen anything.
Okay.
Neither has Drew.
I unequivocally reject any implication that scopolamine was ever intentionally administered to Justify or any of my horses. Test results indicating trace amounts of the drug were undoubtedly the result of environmental contamination caused by the presence of jimson weed in feed, a naturally growing substance in areas where hay and straw are produced in California. In addition, I had no input into or influence on the decisions made by the California Racing Board. Following the Santa Anita Derby, Justify raced in three different jurisdictions during his Triple Crown run, Kentucky, Maryland, and New York. He passed all drug tests in those jurisdictions. I call on the relevant testing agencies in those jurisdictions to immediately release information related to Justify's test results. Justify is one of the finest horses I've ever had the privilege of training. By any standard, is one of the greatest of all time. I'm proud to stand by his record and my own. Okay, well, if you are, I'm rooting for Bob. I hope that's true. But the fact of the matter is, I'd like another vet to step up and tell me in no uncertain terms, as forcefully as the other vet did, that there's no way this much could have gotten into his system unless it was administered intentionally. I mean, this is a vet. You're saying, well, you don't know anything about horse racing. Okay, I'm admitting I don't. So I'm listening to a vet, and the vet said there's no way that amount could get in there without it having been administered intentionally. So the fact of the matter is, you know, you can say what you want. I know in our society right now, that's kind of the culture is you just say 2 and 2 equals 5 as loud as you can, and you insult people who tell you it's 4. And so then that you'll have a whole bunch of people who will jump on board with you and say, yeah, you're right, it's 5. So maybe if you just say this, because we want Justify to have been clean, he was a very popular horse. I was a big fan. I was so happy when he won the Triple Crown. The fact of the matter is, maybe that'll be enough. But all I'm seeing here is a very glorified version of he said, she said. Baffert says, I unequivocally didn't give him any. And the vet says there's no way that much gets in his system without somebody intentionally giving it to him. Oh, well. Baffert is in Lexington for the sales. Thank you, Steve. That would make sense why he would have done it out here in the Eastern time zone. Thank you. So the fact of the matter is, it's a he said, she said, and it's going to taint it a little bit. The taint is that this was in his system, the amount of it in his system. At least some credible people say there's no way it got there by accident. In previous races, whenever there's been that much in a horse's system, he's been disqualified. He's forfeited the purse. They didn't do that here. And the fact that they took so long, I'd like to know from the Racing Commission, why'd they take so long to do everything? The fact that he had to go out of his way to say, I didn't influence anything on the California Racing Board, I'm sure he's telling the truth there. I don't think he influenced them. You got a friendship with a guy, and you got a very special horse, and it's not good for his industry if they're going to bash the horse. I think he's more than happy to try and be helping you. I know, but I don't think you've got to pick up the phone and call him and say, listen, could you overlook this infraction? So I think that part's probably true, but it doesn't alter the fact that the amount in there, credible people say, is way more than could get in there accidentally, and that race is what got him into the Triple Crown. And, you know, that's a problem. It's tainting. That's all I've said. It's going to taint it. I'm sorry if you think it won't. I'm sorry if you don't want it to. I don't want it to. It was a great story. But it is, in keeping with seemingly what goes on nowadays, an extraordinary athletic achievement. And I know what people think, and I do agree with that. There's a certain element of the population that just wants to tear stuff down. They just want to tear anything of positive nature down. You know, so there's that thought, oh, here we go. This was a great achievement, so let's go see if we can find. But I don't think that's really – there is that is that's marginal and often plays itself out very quickly. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it has legs and keeps going. And sometimes something that is of substance for some reason doesn't resonate with the public and it goes away. And you look at it and say, how could they not have pursued this? There's some real meat on the bone there. So you're not sure which these are. But for me, this looks like something where I can understand why people would be concerned. All I know is it's at the end of the game, if the scoreboard says home team 85, visiting team 78, the home team wins. Okay. If this says, if you have X amount of scopolamine in your system, you will be disqualified and forfeit the purse. He had X amount of scopolamine in his system, and he didn't forfeit the purse. He got into the Derby because of that, and he also was in a situation where you have to question the path it took for them to actually pursue this going forward. Now, I would prefer, actually, if they came forward and said just what you said to me, you know what? We've realized in hindsight, this drug does nothing to enhance performance. And maybe it looks convenient that we're going to make that decision now, but it really calls in. This is of such importance to people that sometimes we get overzealous in what we're trying to do with drugs and administer and legislating them. And frankly, it's a shame that this horse is going to be brought into question because we found that this really doesn't enhance performance. That's there's nothing conclusive that says that. And so that's why we changed our rule, and we apologize for the seemingly bumpy road it took to get to this point, but it just seemed, in our opinion, it was a terrible way to take away a great achievement from a great horse who obviously raced all the other races and tested, you know, there was no positive tests at all, and so that's how this thing played out. Then you got to say, yes. So if you mean, what about all those other? Maybe you can't say that because then all the other horses who were disqualified come back and sue you and say, I want my money. Remember that race where you took the purse from me because I had scopolamine? Maybe they do. I don't know. But to me, that would have more logic than this. So if not, then all I see is, like I said, 85-78, home team wins. This amount of scopolamine in your system, you're disqualified. And he wasn't. And that leads people to say it's going to be tainted. That's all I've said. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Thanks for being with us. ESPN 680, 105.7.
You're listening to The V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Drew came in. He's obviously, as he likes to joke, he owns three tail hairs on one of the horses in Two Dimes stable. But that's what it's called, right? Two Dimes? And the guy texted me, go check out the DRF column. I get it. I want to be clear. I'm not trying to take the PETA side or the anti-horse racing side. I'm not, so you don't have to put me in your crosshairs for that. I'm not on their side. I'm not trying to get rid of horse racing. I'm not trying. I think it's a wonderful sport. I think the vast number of people love the horses, but I do think that they have some problems. And I think in this particular case, given the climate, they've exacerbated them some. And this piece doesn't change that in my mind. And I'll tell you why I say that. This is what the DRF thing says. And I understand, like it says here, and I'm not trying to engage in the inflaming. The account of this case as laid out by the New York Times is likely to inflame criticism of racing in an environment in which critics have recently laid siege to the sport, emboldened by a spate of deaths in California. Easy, Tiger. I mean, he's not wrong, but that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm ascertaining what the ramifications are for this particular incident. And what he goes on to quote in this, this is Matt Haggerty who wrote this. Dr. Rick Arthur, who's the equine medical director for the California Horse Racing Board, said that regulators concluded the Justify case deserved to be thrown out due to evidence that the scopolamine was the result of environmental contamination. It's present in Jimson weed, which can be found in natural food products given to horses, and cases involving the substance over the past 25 years have been difficult to adjudicate. Arthur said, I stand 100% by my recommendation to dismiss these cases. Referring to what he said were multiple findings of scopolamine in horses that were tested around the same time as the 2018 Santa Anita Derby. I consider this a case of horse poisoning, not horse drugging. Okay? Now, all that's very compelling. It is. But here's the part that is troubling to me. Okay? They're quoting. I want to make sure I'm giving the proper title to this. It's the same guy, Rick Arthur, okay, the medical director. He would not disclose details of the concentration of scopolamine found in Justify's sample, referring those questions to other CHRB officials. He said there were, and I have no idea what this means, certain circumstances irrelevant to who the horse was that required additional investigation, but would not elaborate on that statement. Then Rick Bedecker, the guy I was mentioning earlier, who's the executive director of the commission, said that they take seriously the integrity of horse racing and are committed to implementing the highest standards of safety. He said they would take a fuller response on Thursday. But the fact of the matter is there's a lot of unanswered questions in terms of why did it take so long to do certain things? And why, if this is the case, because here's the part that I find most troubling to me. This Jimson weed, okay? It's 2019, all right? 1994, last century, five trainers in California, including a couple Hall of Famers, had horses test positive for this substance at the same time. The horses were ultimately disqualified, but the fines were waived because the trainers claimed their feed had been contaminated by Jimson weed. Okay? It's 25 years later. You got a horse that has a chance to do something that is in the sports landscape, even for people who don't follow horse racing, just absolutely, you know, phenomenal. You're a billionaire, probably, or close to it. Why would you leave any chance that this Jimson weed could get in the horse's feed? Isn't there, I don't know, I'm not a horticulturist or an agriculturist or whatever. Is it there a way with all your vast sums of money that you could be certain that what you're feeding the horses is purely what you think it is and not contaminated with another weed? I find that difficult to believe. You couldn't put in some sort of an environment where whatever you're growing for them, at least the levels would be so low that, it, I mean, I don't know, maybe you can't keep it out altogether. I don't understand how the whole thing works. Maybe just from the air some of it gets in, but I don't know. But the fact of the matter is the amount that seemingly was in there, according to the other vet, seemed like it was a lot more than just would be getting in accidentally. So the question is, why would you take that chance? If you know that it's illegal, why would you take that chance? If I had a chance to win the Triple Crown, my God. I mean, I would have that horse. I'd have 24-hour guards and make. I'd eat the grass. Yep, it seems good. Test that, hey.
Maybe it's because as softball dad Dustin, the point he was going to make was, I think Drew brought this up this morning, that you knew that this was going to get reversed before your findings came out. So you're just kind of like, yeah, the hell with it. If it's going to be a problem, and if whatever benefit, and I still don't know the benefit that it can cause, if it does anything, text line.
Evidently, he could win the Triple Crown without it.
Oh no, 100%. But I don't know. Maybe there is something this does as a performance.
I guess what I'm suggesting, without taking the New York Times side or attacking the New York Times isn't fair. The PETA side or whoever is this. If you know you're really being slammed for drug use in your sport, and you know that it's caused so many problems that the grumbling got so loud, horses dying and drugs being considered at the center of it, that they had to close the racing down for a number of days. I'll be damned if I'd run the risk of anybody not passing a test because of environmental factors. That's what I'm suggesting. And I'll go you one better. If, in fact, it turns out that there's nothing you could do, this Jimson weed is the super weed of all time. It lasts at, you know, no grow or whatever that stuff is. Get that spit out of here.
No grow.
What's the stuff that you spray on weeds, the stuff that you try and kill?
Roundup.
Roundup, no grow, whatever. So
this is a class action lawsuit.
Yeah, see, that's the whole point. So maybe it's impossible to keep out. Then you know what? Then I would take it on head first and say, you know, we have determined after all of this time that it's impossible to keep this out of the horse's feed. So we're raising the amount that's acceptable, or, you know, the penalty's not as great, or we agree with these people who said it doesn't really enhance their performance. So it's no longer, but to just go on as business as usual, have a horse of this caliber, and have the simple fact that people like me will look at it and say, these numbers are higher than the numbers that you've said before. You said yourself, racing commissions say 75 nanograms is a positive. Justifies was 300 nanograms, four times as high. What am I supposed to do with that? And then you let it slide, but you disqualified other horses. Well, then you fix it. Don't dump it in my lap and make, I want to just enjoy the sport. And you've ruined it because you made it so that this horse won a race basically illegally, and then you jerry-rigged it so he wouldn't get sanctioned. That's what it looks like. So that's unfortunate, especially when he went and won the Triple Crown, evidently without any of this in his system. So he doesn't need it, evidently. So, well, then just come out and say it. Listen, man, this gypsum weed is too much for us out here, so we're raising the acceptable level. It's I don't know, whatever the number is, or it's no longer a banned substance. It doesn't really enhance their performance. But don't make a rule, have it broken, ignore it, and then afterwards try and say to us, oh, well, we ignored the rule because, you know, well, what the hell do you have the rule for then? You know, it's like somebody said, and I agree with this, to a degree. I mean, not to a degree. I agree with it completely. Guy said, it's the same thing as paying players in sports. Maybe you should pay them. But the fact of the matter is, while it's not illegal, the sanctioning body says you can't do it. So if they're paid, they're ineligible to play. Well, it's the same thing here. You're the sanctioning body. You made the damn rule. So if you just like in football and in the college sports, if you think that the players should be paid, change your rule. Great. So if this is going to be a problem with this damn Jimson weed, we can't keep it out. Well, then change your rule. But the fact of the matter is, you can't have a rule, ignore it, and then tell all of us that we're foolish for questioning why you didn't enforce your own rules. That's the whole point. ESPN Louisville, Papa John's promo code is RadioXL. Use that, you get a two-topping extra-large pizza and a two-liter for just $14. ESPN Louisville and Western Kentucky coverage comes up this weekend. Mark Annis and the Coors Light pre- and post-game shows on 93.9 The Ville. U of L takes on Western Kentucky. Pre-game starts at 2 from Nashville. They play at 4, and you can hear the game here because we are the WKU outlet here in town. Post-game starts directly following the game with a first place that will take your calls, texts, and hear for live from Coach Satterfield. It's U of L football, talking about it on 93.9 The Ville. Kentucky football takes on Florida this Saturday. The Kentucky Farm Bureau pre- and post-game show with James Strebel. Pre-game starts at 6, post-game immediately after. First place, take your calls and texts and hear live from Coach Stoops. Football, football, football. The Colts are on. We'll talk some Colts with Lara Overton straight ahead. They take on the Titans in Tennessee. Pre-game coverage begins at 12 right here on 680-1057. And the Baltimore Ravens. We'll see if Lamar Jackson can do it again. The 2019 NFL season is underway with the second game of the year for the Ravens. They're hosting the Arizona Cardinals. That's a 12:30 airtime on 93.9 The Ville. Lamar and the Ravens, sounds like a scene group, are presented by Liquor Barn. Download their app and have Liquor Barn delivered to you. Also, Molly Malone's the official Lamar Bar all season long. And we're not even done with football. Tonight, Thursday night football from the National Football League. Coverage begins at 8. The Bucks take on the Panthers on 93.9 the Ville. And if you want a little bit of baseball in your life, the Reds are on 680-1057 tonight against the Mariners and late night games. It's always good. Put a little baseball on as you're getting ready to drift off. Well, you used to love to do that as a little kid. You hide it under your pillow and listen to the Yankees or the Mets when they're playing on the West Coast. I'm going to sleep, Mom. No, I'm going to sleep. Oh, damn it. What? Nothing. I didn't say anything. Reds and Mariners, 940, and Diamondbacks on the docket tomorrow, 910 airtime. So there you go. Thanks to Adam and his staff for dropping off Wing Zone Catering. ESPN Louisville special, 10 boneless wings, wedges, and a drink. It's $9.39. Just mention ESPN Louisville. Just walk in and scream it at the top of your lungs, and then go up and say, I want that special. And they'll give it to you. They'll probably ask you not to yell anymore, but they will give you that deal of 10 boneless wings, wedges, and a drink for $9.39. It's good every day of the week. Also, they have four thigh wings for just $2.99. Limited time only on that. Two area locations, Hess Lane near U of L and in Hikes Points. Perfect to grab before your tailgate. Be sure to pick up the new ESPN Louisville College Football Insider there. It's a great read. There's a limited quantity available. Make sure you get yours. Order online, by the way, at wingzone.com. Back with more here after this top of the hour break.
I found this really cool video.
680
and
105.
You got to check this out. It's a video of cheese balls.
What is that?
Going
mean?
Into a giant tube. Planters has a video of cheese balls.
They're going to see. What do you got to guess how many
it's
go in
so
there?
It's so relaxing. No, just watching it slowly fill
so
with
what?
Cheese balls.
It's live? It's like
yeah,
a
it's like
camera.
A. Like it's, yeah,
what, it, is there a game involved? Like we got to guess when it's filled or how many go in there?
I'm not sure. Maybe at the end. But people have accused it as of being just a repeating video and there's no actual. Like it's not actually
rising? Oh, that. Yeah. See, now that would piss me off.
Yeah, but I'm looking. I'm trying to find ways to measure. I think there's actual. I think it's getting bigger.
Well, just remind yourself to look tonight at dinner, and if it doesn't look any higher, you know they're just jerking you around.
Yeah, but
why would you sit there and keep looking at it?
It's not the destination, man. It's the journey. You kind of want to.
You want to watch cheese balls fill a giant glass tube?
Maybe.
Okay.
With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today, delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination online at bluegrasskarting.com.